I know a guy, I was a hardcore atheist. And when I say a hardcore atheist, I don't mean the kind that just doesn't believe in God. I mean the one that makes it their life mission to make sure that you don't believe in God either. And this wasn't just some normal guy. It was an incredibly intelligent guy, super logical. And he would use every bit of that intelligence and every bit of that logic to attack your faith. And if he saw like a little bitty seed of doubt come to sprout in your life, he'd be like a shark that smelled blood, and he would attack it, and it would make him so happy to destroy somebody's faith. And then he met Jesus. And now this same guy is one of the most incredible apologists that I've ever known, using that same logic, that same intelligence, not to destroy people's faith, but to grow people's faith into something beautiful. Because see, it doesn't matter where you start. All that matters is how you finish. I know a woman that was abused and tormented as a child in ways that you could never imagine and ways that you would not wish on your worst enemy. And yet, And she even carried some of that torment and abuse into her adult life in the form of shame and anger and self-doubt that carried with her. But then she met Jesus. And now that same woman uses all that experience to reach back into people's lives and find people that are suffering with those same things. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, set them free to a life in Jesus. Because see, it don't matter how you start. All that matters is how you finish. I know a guy that was born into such a complicated family situation that he wasn't sure where he belonged. It was a torment. There were some times in his life when he wasn't sure if either one of them wanted him. And then there was a time later in his life when he would become homeless on the streets of a big city, not feeling like he had anybody in the world. And then he met Jesus. And now that same man has made it his life's purpose to make sure that everyone is welcomed, invited, and accepted into the family of God. Can you say amen? Because it don't matter where you start. All that matters is how you... Come on. I know a guy that used to live for the party. Used to live for the party. Didn't care about what was happening the next day except where everybody was going to get together and what was on tap. Didn't care about anything else. And yet now, and then he met Jesus. And now that same guy is out on the streets every day of his life, ministering to the people that the rest of the world has left behind, taking the gospel into the gutters, taking the gospel into the alleys, taking the gospel to the people that the world has forgotten about, but he knows that God hasn't. Because it don't matter how you start. All that matters is how you finish. I know a guy that was born in a voodoo temple. I know a guy that was born as part of a voodoo ritual. This is my friend I'm talking about. Was born as part of a voodoo ritual. The witch doctor said that he was stillborn, and they buried him in the ground at the voodoo temple. And then they gathered around, and the witch doctor told his family that he could use the power of voodoo to bring this baby back to life. They agreed. They dug the child up, and it was alive. And he lived with that cloud over his head for 14 years of his life. And then he met Jesus. Then he met Jesus. And now that man is the pastor of a thriving church in a third world country. The pastor of an incredible church. And not only that, he's the director of an orphanage that makes sure that other kids don't fall under the same influence that he had to live his life under. Can you say amen? Because it don't matter where you start. All that matters is how you... Come on. There was a woman who spent her whole life giving herself to everybody and anybody that would take an interest because she felt like she had no value. She felt like she had no value. She felt like she had no worth. And then she met Jesus. And she spent the rest of her life living on purpose. She spent the rest of her life living on mission because in Christ she found value. In Christ she found worth. In Christ she found the love that she had been looking for her whole life. Because I'm here to tell you, church, it don't matter how you start. All that matters is how you finish. There was a guy who spent his whole life trying to destroy the church, trying to shut down the name of Jesus, not to lift it higher and higher, but to make sure he got pushed down lower and lower. He was willing to give everything he had to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, to shut it down in every aspect of its existence. And then on the road to Damascus, praise God, he met Jesus. And because he got saved, you got saved, because he wrote the New Testament and his name is Paul and he was the apostle and he's living proof that it don't matter how you started. All that matters is how you finish. Can you say amen? Which brings us to our message for today. Man, I hope that our message today challenges and inspires everybody in this room. I hope that the long-time Christians that have been following Jesus for a long time, I pray that you realize that you have not arrived. That from here, you got a long way to go. And those of you that are brand new Christians, have just walked into this new life, I pray that you realize that God wants to do a thing in you, but he also wants to do a thing through you. I pray that you realize that God's on the move and you can't just stay where you're at. See, what I'm praying that is today's message lets you know that you can't get complacent and you can't get comfortable. Because when we as Christians, when we get complacent, and then we get comfortable, we get stagnant. And let me tell you something that you might not know about stagnant Christians. Stagnant Christians stink. It's just true. I don't want y'all to be stinky, stagnant Christians. I want y'all to get moving so the power of the Holy Spirit's wind can blow all over you and get you going. Now, I know that the psalm says to be still and know that I'm God. I know that it says that. But after you know that he's God, somebody say amen. After you know that he's God, the time for being still is over. Once you know that he's God, it's time to get on the move. If you're following Jesus, yeah, man, come on. If you're following Jesus, you got to be moving. Jesus is always on the move. And if you're going to follow him, then you got to be on the move too. Jesus is going. So if we're going to go with him, we got to get going too. Jesus is on the move from town to town. Jesus was going to Nazareth. Jesus was going to Galilee. Jesus was going to Jerusalem. Jesus even went to Samaria. Somebody say amen. Sometimes you may have to go somewhere that you really don't want to go. But if Jesus leads you there, then you better get going. Here's the other thing, though. If you're following Jesus by yourself, then you ain't really following Jesus. My Lord said, bring somebody with you. That's called making disciples, and it's what we do. So if you've been following Jesus by yourself, it's time to stop and take a look at what you've been doing. It's time to stop and take a look at what you've been doing and look back and see if there's anybody with you. Because if there ain't nobody with you, then you ain't leading nobody. You're just taking a walk. And this thing's not about taking a walk. It's about leading people to Jesus. So if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to take somebody with you. So I pray that my mature believers in here, I pray you'd be looking back for somebody to lead you, to lead to where you are all the time. Be looking back for somebody to lead so you can bring them to where you are so that then together you can follow Jesus. And those that are new believers, a little bit less, you know, influenced by the faith thus far, I pray you're always looking for somebody. Always looking for somebody to follow towards Jesus. But I also pray that that young Christian enthusiasm, that young Christian fire that you got going on, I pray that it inspires that mature, that older generation to get busy. Because I know that sometimes younger Christians don't know which way to go, but sometimes the older Christians, they just tired and don't want to go. So I pray that we work together. And I pray this message inspires every single person here to get going after Jesus. Because it don't matter where you started. All that matters is how you finish. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning? Now we are going to study the book of Philemon, and it is near and dear to my heart. It's one page long. I challenge you to go and read that this afternoon when you get home. Even though we're going to read the whole thing in here, it'll take you 3.5 minutes. Do it. But as we stand together today, we're actually not going to read from Philemon. I know I'm breaking my own rules, but it's cool. We're actually going to read from the book of Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 11. Just one verse. But I need you to understand that it's this verse in Colossians that's going to make everything in the book of Philemon come alive to you. These books are connected. You see, Philemon was one of the leaders of the church in Colossae. He was one of the leaders of the Colossian church. They actually met in his home. So these two books of the Bible are forever connected. And we're about to see how that is. So let's read this scripture together. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 11, it says here. Somebody say here. When the scripture says here, it means this. It means the church. Here in the church. And not just the church at Colossae, and not just the church in Ephesus, and not just the Way Church, but every church, every place that dares to call themselves a church has to believe this scripture. And it has to be near and dear to our heart. It has to be the very essence of who we are. Say here. Here there is no Gentile, there is no Jew, there is no circumcised or uncircumcised, no barbarians, no Scythian, no slave or free, but Christ is all. Say Christ is all. And is in all. Say is in all. Christ is all and is in all. You know what that means? No Jew, no Greek, no black, no white, no Hispanic, no Asian. None of that stuff matters. All that matters is that Christ is in us and we're in Him. And we're one body of Christ, one body of believers. My blood is the same as your blood, and it better be His blood flowing through our veins. Can you say amen? Lord, I pray that you pour your glory out on us this morning. I pray you reveal to us what you would have us to see, that you use that knowledge to then transfer to our heart, where you would change us forever, and then that new life that you've given us on the inside would flow to the outside, God, and we would begin to live for you in a way that we never have lived for you before. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give him praise one more time, can you? Oh, Philemon, come on. Good stuff. Bible says this in verse 1 of Philemon, this book of the Bible that's one page long, and I probably read it 25 times in my Christian life and never meant a thing to me till this week. It's funny how we read a living word, isn't it? And we might read it this week and passage means one thing, and then as the Holy Spirit directs, we read it the next week, and all of a sudden, it just comes to life for us. I mean, I've read this little page probably 20 times in my life, and it never spoke to me like it did just this week. Just this week, the Bible says this. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, he was actually in prison while he was writing this in Rome. A prisoner in Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. That's the Colossian church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 4, verse 4. I always thank my God when I mention you in my prayers, because I hear of your love for all the saints and the faith that you have in Lord Jesus. I pray that your participation in the faith may become effective through knowing every good thing that is in us for the glory of God, glory of Christ. For I have great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Man, that's encouraging and inspiring, amen? But there's a little piece in there in the middle that speaks to something different. If you know anything about leadership, this is called the sandwich technique. You say something really good, you put something a little not as good in the middle, and then you back it up with something good again, right? And then all of a sudden, people that have been scolded sometimes don't even know that they've been scolded. What he's saying is you've been doing good, Philemon. You've been doing real good. It's a blessing to me, and I praise the Lord for what I've seen happen in your life. What an amazing testimony to what God can do. But you can do more. I've heard incredible things about what's happening in the ministry down there and how you've been a blessing to all these people, but you missed a few. I know that you can do this because I've seen what you've already done. And Way Church, that brings me to you. I look around and I see what God has done in your lives, and so I know how much more that He can do. If you've just recently given your life to Christ, just know that God has a purpose and a plan for you. And just know that if you feel like that you've done a bunch of things for God already, yeah, not so much. Really, He's just getting started in you. If you've done a thing for God, that means you can do two things for God. And if you've done two things for God, well, you might as well do three things for God. And if you've done three things for God, why not do 10? And if you've done 10 things for God, why not just dedicate your whole life to the living God? Because you know that He can do a better job stewarding it than you can. So give your life over to God. And that's what he's saying to Philemon here. He's saying, I've seen you do so much, but there's so much more than you can do. As a matter of fact, you don't even realize the blessing that you can be if you just surrender yourself to the Lord fully. Don't hold back. Because when you hold a piece of it back, you're letting yourself down. You're letting the Lord down. You're letting the world around you down. Just don't hold back. Come on, Philemon. Come on, Way Church. Don't hold back. Man, give it over to the Lord. Verse 8 says this, for this reason, although I have great boldness in Christ to command you to do what is right, I appeal to you instead on the basis of love. See, Paul could command Philemon to do this thing he's about to ask him. Do you sense that he's about to ask him to do something crazy? He could command him to do it. He could command him to do it and the work would get done. But the work wouldn't do anything in Philemon. Does that make sense to everybody? So like here in the church, as the pastor, I mean, I could command you to do stuff. And some of you probably would just be like, what? No, and leave. But some of you would do it just because of the authority that I've been given as pastor of the church. You just do it and the work would get done, but the work wouldn't do anything in you. Whereas if I appeal to you in love, and you do the work of the Lord, not because I've commanded you to, but because you love the Lord and because you love what's going on here in the ministry, then all of a sudden, not only did the work get done, but the work did something in you. And that makes it so much more. And so that's what Paul's saying to Philemon. He's saying, I could command you to do this, but I'm not going to. Instead, I'm going to appeal to you in love, not only so the thing that I want to get done will get done, but so this work will do something incredible in you. And he's willing to do this because he's seen how much that Philemon has grown. And because he's seen how much Philemon has grown, he's confident that when he appeals to him in love, that the work that love, God's love has already done in him is going to continue to work in him. And that's what I see going on in here. That's what I see going on in this ministry, man. I've seen this church just grow in power and in love and in service. And I've seen your families grow. And I've seen you grow as individuals. Man, I've just seen God just do a remarkable, remarkable work in this ministry. And so that's why I know that what I'm about to ask you guys to do as an appeal in love is going to happen. Here soon, I'm going to ask you guys to serve more than you ever dreamed possible. I'm going to ask you guys to give at a level that you don't think that you can afford. Yes, I said it. We're going to give more. I'm going to ask you guys to go places that you would be fearful to go in your normal life. I'm going to ask you to do things that you would just think are just crazy and off the wall. I'm going to ask you to pray more than you ever thought that a person could pray. I'm going to ask you to fast and go and lay hands on folks. And I'm going to ask you to do things that are so far out of your comfort zone that you wouldn't even wish them on somebody else, but you're going to do them. You're going to do them. I'm going to ask you guys to have faith the likes of which is unheard of in today's church. I'm going to ask us to go to a new level, but I know you're going to do it because I've seen how far that God brought you already. And if he's brought you this far, then he's going to take you to a new height. Because I tell you what, we're not going to get stuck where we're at. We're not going to get stuck where we're at, man. God is going to do a new thing. He's going to take us to a new level and a new place, and we're all going to go together. We're all going to go together. We're all going to go together. The Bible says you have not because you... Yeah, that's in James chapter 4. You have not because you ask not. But we as church leaders, pastors, and ministers, we have not because we ask not to. We have not disciples because we haven't asked people to be disciples. We set the standards too low. Wait, church, we're about to raise our standards here. We're about to raise our standards. We're about to raise our standards of love. We're about to raise our standards of service. We're about to raise our standards of faith. And I know that when I ask it of you, that you're going to respond because I've seen how far God has brought you already. We have not disciples because we've asked not for disciples, but I'm asking for disciples. I'm asking for people that are sold out for God. I'm asking for people that are willing to lay their heart on the line for the living God and trust in him to provide them everything that they could need and provide them to do a better job stewarding and leading their life than they could have done on their own. That's what I'm going to ask people to do. And that's what Paul is asking Philemon to do. To deny himself and to trust in the Lord to give him everything that he needs to become the person that God destined him to be. That's what I'm going to ask us to do. But let's see exactly what it is that Paul is going to ask of Philemon. Paul says this. I, Paul, in case you forgot who was writing this letter, let me remind you who I am. As an elderly man, now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, appeal to you for my son Onesimus. And I'm going to stop right there because I know Philemon did. Philemon was reading this letter that Paul wrote him and going, man, guys, I got a letter from the apostle. And it talks about how awesome that I'm doing in the faith. Man, what an incredible blessing. Man, he said that I'm a blessing to everybody that I come around. And he's so refreshed by my faith and my love. Man, it's awesome. And then he gets down here and Paul says, I appeal to you for my beloved son Onesimus. And Philemon goes, what? Onesimus? Oh, no, not anybody but Onesimus. Did the Lord ever speak to you and say, go to so-and-so? And you're like, oh, God, anybody but so-and-so. That's what the Lord likes the best. That's what the Lord likes the best. So when Philemon got all upset and icky in his heart, man, you know the Lord's up there going, this is going to be awesome. Let me tell you about Onesimus. Onesimus is a runaway slave. Philemon was his master. Onesimus run away. And apparently, according to the church tradition, he'd done something bad before he was there. So they think he stole some money or something. But anyway, he did something bad in Philemon's house and he left. Philemon was his master. Yeah, the same guy that's leading the church, the same guy that's been saved by the Lord and radically set free from so many things, he still got some stuff going on. But Onesimus ran away from Philemon. But when he ran away from Philemon, he runs smack dab into Paul. And when you run into Paul, who else do you run into? Oh my gosh, you can't help it. When you run into Paul, you run into Jesus. And it don't matter if he's walking down the street. And it don't matter if he's trapped in a jail cell. The jail cell is probably worse because then you can't get away. Can you imagine being trapped? Imagine if you're not a person of faith and you're trapped in a jail cell with Paul of Tarsus. And you're sitting there and he's like, hey, let me tell you about the Lord. You have to listen to all the Berean concepts 38,000 times in a row. You have to listen to the Damascus Road story 62 times every single day until you come to faith in Jesus. When you run into Paul, you can't help but run into Jesus. That's the guy that I want to be. I want people to say that about me, not just Paul of Tarsus, the apostle. I want people to say that about Paul Grider, that when you run into Paul, you can't help but run into Jesus. I want them to say that about Brent, that when you run into Brent, you can't help but run into Jesus. When you run into Mike Beckley, well, we all know that's true. When you run into Mike Beckley, you can't help but run into Jesus. Somebody say amen. I want that to be true about everybody in this room. Yeah, come on. Then when you run into somebody that calls the Way Church their home, you can't help but run into Jesus. So yeah, Onesimus ran away from Philemon, ran smack dab into Jesus Christ, and everything changed. Everything changed. I appeal to you about my son, Onesimus. I became his father while I was here in chains. I don't know, maybe Onesimus got arrested while he was in Rome. I think probably so. God put him right where he wanted him. God ever put you right where he wanted you, against your will? Yeah, me too. Put me right where he wanted me, against my will. Once he was useless to you, but now he's useful to both you and me. That's a little play on words. See, the name Onesimus in the Greek means useful. Maybe he was useless to you then. See, Onesimus wasn't a very good slave, but apparently he's a really good son. Onesimus wasn't a very good slave, not a very good servant, but he's a real good disciple. Onesimus wasn't very good at being in chains, but man, he's good at being free. Come on. Some people say that Paul was breaking the Jewish law by sending him back, because Deuteronomy 23 says, don't return slaves to their owners if they've escaped and come to you. It's a pretty good verse. I like it. And see, Paul told him to go. He's sending him back. But see, here's the thing. Paul's not sending back a slave. Paul's not sending back a slave. He's sending back a son. And if he's sending back a son, that means he's sending back a brother to Philemon. Because Paul's the one that led Philemon to the Lord. Makes him his son in the faith. He's not sending him back a slave. He's sending him back a brother. Verse 14 says, verse 13 says, I wanted to keep him with me so that in my imprisonment for the gospel, he might serve me in your place. So this dude that was once your slave, he's going to replace you in my service. That's what I wanted to do, but the Lord wouldn't let me do it. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent, so that your good deed might not be of obligation, but of your own free will. He's saying, Philemon, I'm giving you a chance to make this right. I'm giving you a chance to set this man free, and in doing so, to unchain your own heart. If you set him free and do what I'm asking you to do, the real work is going to take place not in the chains coming off his arms, but in the chains coming off your heart. Because see, Way Church, blood breaks chains. Blood breaks chains. Divine blood breaks spiritual chains. And so in granting him his freedom, really you're securing your own freedom from a chain that you didn't even know that you had on you. And that's what's going to happen in this place. I'm giving you a chance to do it, Philemon. I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm pitching the ball straight down the middle. Can you knock it out of the park? I'm setting you up for success. Man, somebody in here, God's throwing one straight down the pipe to you. God's throwing one straight down the pipe to you right now, and you didn't even see it coming. You thought it was going to be outside. It's not. God's sending one straight to you. Now it's up to you if you're going to take that opportunity to become who God has designed you to be. But this ain't just about Philemon, though. Because see, now Paul's going to turn to Onesimus. Now, Onesimus, I'm going to ask you to do something crazy, too. You know, you ran away from slavery at Philemon's house. I'm going to ask you to walk right back into it. But I'm asking you to do so not as a slave, but as a son. But you're going to have to depend on the love of God in a way that you never have before. You're going to have to depend upon the power of God in a way that you never have before. You're going to have to really believe that his blood has broken all those chains that are on you. You're going to have faith in him. And you're also going to have to believe in the love that Philemon has for God and the love that God has for you both. You're going to have faith in a way that you've never had to have faith before. See, some of us are dealing with things that we don't know that we're dealing with. Some of us are going to be asked to make sacrifices. Some of us are going to be asked to have incredible faith. Some of us are going to be asked to do both. See what happens. Verse 17. Sometimes it takes drastic measures, right? Sometimes it takes drastic measures to keep that faith flowing. But some of us are running. Some of us are running from our chains, but we know the slack is going to run out soon. And what happens when the slack runs out? Yeah, it jerks tight, and it's no good for anybody. Seen those videos where they've got the truck tied to the whatever? And then they take off, and when that chain jerks tight, it just pulls the axle completely out of the truck. It's about to happen. Some of you are stuck by your chains. And you don't even realize you're stuck. But something's keeping you from following Jesus where he's trying to lead you. And you didn't know it was a chain, but it is. But it is. But his grace can do it. But sometimes it takes some drastic measures. Listen to this in verse 17. So if you consider me a partner, if you consider us to be brothers in the faith, if you consider yourself part of the ministry that I'm doing, then you'll welcome him as you would me. And if he's wronged you in any way, this is the most beautiful part. If he's wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, in case you forgot, write this with my own hand. No scribe is writing this. None of my apostles, none of my disciples, none of my people are writing this for me. I, Paul, even though I'm an old man, I can barely hold this pen. I'm writing this with my own hand because that's how important that this whole thing is to me. I got 10 guys here ready to write me a letter. I'm not letting any of them do it because I need you to understand how important that this message is. I'm writing it with my own hand. I will repay it. I will repay it. Not to mention that you owe me everything, even your very self. What does that sound like? Does it sound familiar, this story? If they've done anything wrong, don't worry, put it on me. If they've wronged you in any way, don't worry, put it on me. If they've been unrighteous, if they've been sinful, if they've done anything ugly to you in their life, don't worry about it. Don't charge it to them. Put it on me. I'll pay for it. Put it on me. I'll take care of it. Oh, yeah, by the way, you owe me the very breath in your lungs. This is the only letter that Paul writes where he doesn't explicitly describe the crucifixion and the resurrection. You know why? Because he's living it out for you. He's showing you what it means to be Christ-like. He's showing you what it means to walk in faith like Jesus. He's showing you what it means to follow Him and then to become Him. He's playing it out for you. I don't know about you, but YouTube has been a lifesaver for me on trying to change parts of my old junky truck. I'm trying to fix the washing machine. I'm trying to mess with the soundboards in this church. I'm doing all that stuff. If it wasn't for YouTube, I wouldn't be able to do it. You know why? Because I can see them do it, and then I can do it. I can see them do it. That's what discipleship is. Monkey see, monkey do. Be a disciple. Look, this is how discipleship works. I'll do it. You watch me. Right? I'll do it. You help me. Next one is you do it. I'll help you. And then the last one is, you do it, I'll watch you. And then we both go get somebody else and do the same thing all over again. That's what discipleship is. That's what discipleship is. Paul is showing you how to do this. He's showing us how to live like Christ. If he's done anything wrong, charge it to my account. Receive him back as a brother, just like you would me. Oh yeah, but by the way, I know you're going to do this, he says in verse 21. I'm confident in your obedience. I'm writing to you. I know that you'll do even more than I say. But just in case you think you might not want to. Verse 22, meanwhile, also prepare room for me. Because through your prayers, I'll be restored to you. I'm coming back. That sounds familiar in the story of Christ too, huh? Yeah, I'm pouring my grace out on you. And I want you to receive it. And then I want it to flow through you. And oh yeah, by the way, I'm coming back to make sure everything's okay. look. The story's cool. We've got an imprisoned apostle. We've got a runaway slave. We have a very confused slave master at this point, right? But ain't nothing in this story about where these guys started. Because the whole point that I want you to understand of anything that I'm saying this morning is this. It don't matter where you start. All that matters is how you finish. It don't matter where you start. All that matters is that somewhere on the journey, you meet Jesus. And when you meet Him, you come to know Him. And when you know Him, you can't help but love Him. And when you love Him, you start to trust Him. And when you trust Him, you get up and you follow Him. Because that's what we do. Because it doesn't matter where we started. We know that if we follow Him, all that matters is where we finish. Can you say amen? Now I need to ask you, and feel free to respond with volume if you can, are there any finishers in here? I need to know if there's any finishers in here. Hey, give God praise if you're a finisher this morning. If you're a finisher, give Him praise like you mean it. If you're a finisher, if it doesn't matter where you started, but you know where you're going. If you started rough, but you know where you're going. If you got stuck for a while, but you know how you're going to finish, man. One more time, if you're a finisher, give God praise in the house this morning. Because it don't matter where you started. All that matters is it is finished. That's all that matters. Is that it is finished. That it's finished in Him. Because I know that He that started a good work in me. Come on now. He that started a good work in us. He that started a good work in us. But He's going to finish it. He's going to keep working on it until the day of the Lord when He comes back and we give Him praise, hoping for that day. Hoping for that day when He's going to finish the work that He started. Onesimus starts the story as a runaway slave and becomes a son. Philemon starts the story as a slave owner but becomes a brother. The Apostle Paul starts the story imprisoned in Rome, but he writes that last sentence in faith saying, I might be in jail now, but y'all better get ready because I'm coming home. Can you say amen? It don't matter where you start. It's all about where you finish. Y'all want to know how this story ends up? Y'all want to know what happens when Onesimus shows up? Well, Scripture don't tell us. It says in Colossians, you know, Paul writes, I'm sending Tychicus down there, and I'm going to send Onesimus with him. So we know he went, but the Scripture doesn't tell us what happens. I don't like it when stuff gets left hanging open. I want to know. But as you guys know, our God is a finisher. I like what my wife said in small groups last week. My wife said that the revelation puts such an awesome period at the end of the gospel story, doesn't it? Puts a period on him, and he's coming back to set it all straight. She was like, I just love how he finishes it. It proves that God is the perfect author, because too many stories get left unfinished, or the end is just awful. The first Matrix movie is one of the best movies ever made, isn't it? And of course, Keanu's a big superstar again now, but you know, the first Matrix movie is incredible, and then the third one's garbage. I mean, they couldn't wrap it up. They couldn't tie it up. Did you ever watch the TV series Lost back in the day? Yeah, you watch the TV series Lost, and you spend like 5 or 6 years watching this show, and then all of a sudden, like they put the last show out there, and you're like, what is this? You know what happened? They didn't know how to finish. They didn't know how to finish. There's even the legendary botch of The Sopranos, right? Like people invested their lives into this show, and it just goes black at the end. You know what happened? Because they couldn't finish. They were scared to finish. My God is a finisher. He knows how to put a period at the end and say, the end, man. Come on. The last, like I preached last week, man, the last line in the Bible, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Story over. Finished. I'll see y'all in a little bit. God's a finisher. So the Scripture doesn't tell us what happens. But if you do a little research, you can find out. One of our early church fathers' name was Ignatius. You may have heard of him. So about 50 years after this is written, he writes a letter announcing the new pastor of the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was Paul's favorite church. The church in Ephesus is the one where Jesus said, I like what y'all are doing. You need to get back to your first love, but you're rocking it. Ignatius writes a letter to announce the new pastor of the church of Ephesus after Timothy retired. You know what his name is? Onesimus. Can you give God praise for Onesimus? Come on, man. Come on. Come on. And then there's Philemon. Philemon would become the apostle, the bishop of the church in Colossae. And he would live out his entire life serving in that capacity, leading people to the Lord, leading people to freedom, leading people to love. And he would actually give his life, according to the Orthodox church tradition, he'd become a saint. He would give his life as pagans raided the church and carried him and his wife off and sacrificed them. But he lived his last moment, actually happened during a church service. He gave his last breath and his entire life as a service to the Lord. Can you say amen? It doesn't matter where you start. It's all about how you finish. Amen. We all know about the Apostle Paul. We know of Saul of Tarsus tried to destroy the church and shut it all down. And we know that he encountered the risen king on the road to Damascus. And it's because of him that we get to say, be strong in the Lord and put on the armor of God. It's because of the Holy Spirit working through him that we get to say, love is patient, love is kind at everybody in here's wedding. It's because of him that before a football game we can say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's because of him that we have the Romans road to walk down to salvation. It's because of him that the power of God's love has exploded amongst the Gentile population. It doesn't matter where you start. All that matters is how you finish. All that matters is how you finish. Man, somebody in this room right now is a slave to sin. Is a slave to sin. Maybe you've run away from it, but what you need to do is be free. Somebody here is a master of sin. You thought you was controlling it, but ultimately it's controlling you. There's only one way you can be free. There's only one name above all names that can give you real freedom. And maybe you thought you were free, but you're not. Maybe you thought you were free, but if it hasn't been Jesus that sets you free, then you're not free. Because only the Son can set you free. And when he does, you become free indeed. And until that point, you're still stuck. And maybe you've never made that decision to come under His authority. Because when you come under His authority, man, you reach out for that grace and He pours it on you. I'm telling you that blood breaks chains. I'm telling you that blood breaks chains. Blood breaks chains that you see, and it breaks ones that you don't see. Because sometimes the obvious chain isn't the one that's really holding you in place. Sometimes you thought it was the addiction that had you stuck, but really it was the pride that had you stuck. Sometimes you thought it was the lust that had you stuck, but really it was the jealousy that had you stuck. Sometimes you thought it was the greed that had you stuck, but really it was the regret that had you stuck. Maybe it was the bitterness. Maybe it was the deceit. I don't know what it is, man, but His blood will break every one of those chains today. Every one of them, man. Because there's real freedom in the name of Jesus. There's real freedom in the power of His Holy Spirit poured out into our life, man. That is how we find freedom. That's how we find love, man. That's how we walk into His glory. That's how, under His name, under His authority, under His glory, under His power, under Him. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all. We church, Christ is all. And is in all. My blood's just as red as yours. But the only blood that matters is His. And that His blood is flowing through our veins. That's all that matters. That Christ is all and is in all. So I have to ask you this morning, have you met Him? Have you met Him? And if you've met Him, do you know Him? And if you know Him, do you love Him? And if you love Him, do you trust Him? And if you trust Him, will you follow Him today? If you trust Him, will you follow Him wherever He leads you? Will you follow Him into the fire? Will you follow Him into the flood? Will you follow Him through into the valley of the shadow of death? Will you follow Him to the highest mountain peak? Will you follow Him wherever He leads you? Will you follow Him today? And maybe you've never really made that decision to follow Christ before. Maybe you've wanted to, or maybe you thought you did, but now you're realizing for the first time, I said something. I said some words. I cried a tear, but I ain't followed Him nowhere. Follow me. That's what He said to Levi that became Matthew. Follow me. That's another guy. Didn't matter where he started. Matter where he ended. Doesn't matter where you've started today. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's been done to you. Doesn't matter where you start. All that matters is that you're willing to follow Him to the finish.